I am not afraid to say it. The Lord is my shepherd. I am grateful to live in the pasture of the one who always loves me and faithfully cares for me, Jesus. He is my shepherd and my sacrificial lamb. He gave up his life for me on the cross to atone for all of my sin and to open the door to heaven. I love him and always want to follow him. My story. This shepherd's lamb was a member of the first Christian church in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit blessed our church with rapid growth. To keep up with the growing workload and to free up more time for the disciples to preach and teach, the church selected 7 of us to wait on tables, meaning our service was to distribute the funds for the physical needs of members, making sure both Jews and Gentiles were cared for equally. Being a Greek-speaking Jew, I could help others break down language barriers and understand our cultural differences. Before beginning my work for the Lord, the disciples laid their hands on me and asked God to bless my efforts. And he certainly did bless my efforts. As I carried out my tasks, I was given the spiritual gifts of faith, wisdom, even miracles, gifts that pointed to God's grace and power. As I faithfully spoke God's truth, more and more members were brought to Christ. But sin and hardships are everywhere, even in the Good Shepherd's pasture. We all have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The Jewish leaders who put Jesus to death were still causing all kinds of trouble for his followers, myself included. My work was a threat to their man-made traditions. I was accused of undermining the law of Moses. Their anger grew into a hateful campaign to get rid of me. One day I found myself in their court, surrounded by lies and condemned to death. But I will fear no evil, for you are with me. While I was testifying before my enemies, Jesus appeared to me. I actually saw him. He was standing at the right hand of God. I knew my shepherd was with me. He would never abandon me. Strengthened by his steadfast promise, I opened my mouth to give my last witness of Jesus' love. Perhaps this time their hard hearts would be softened. Sadly, the more I shared God's priceless truths, the more infuriated they became, grinding their teeth, plugging their ears, screaming to drown out my words. They dragged me outside the city and hurled stones meant to beat the life out of me. I had one last plea. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That's when I peacefully went to sleep, only to awaken instantly in my Good Shepherd's arms. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. By now you may have guessed, I'm Jesus' little lamb, Stephen. Stephen means crown. How appropriate. God promises all of us, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. So, my fellow sheep, remember, be faithful to the one who is faithful to you. No matter what happens, continue to share Jesus, the Good Shepherd, with others and be a part of the story. The crown of life awaits you in heaven. You stiff-necked people, you are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the Righteous One. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it. But when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. So there was great joy in that city.
Dear friends, let us cut to the chase. Are we willing to die for Jesus? It would seem that we are all willing to live for him as we sit here in his house, in our comfortable chairs. Is it possible that his moral code and the commandments is simply more logical than, well, a love-free world filled with cannabis and life lived with me dictating how it looks? Yet, how far reaching into your life, into the corners of your life, is Jesus good for? Are you willing to live for him when it's easy, but if the living for him brings ridicule, what then? Are we willing to live for him when life is easy, but if the living for him would actually bring death, are you and I willing to die? If Stephen were here today, the man whose name means crown, if he were here today, he might have this thought for us or to ponder. You are willing to die, to live for Jesus, but with the living can come the dying. Are you still willing? What is your cause in life? Everyone seems to have a cause. This coming Friday is National Arbor Day, and some parents will plant a tree with their children to remind them that we need to give back to God and care for his creation. But there will be others who will plant hundreds or thousands of trees to save the planet for coming generations. And I ask you, how close and near and dear to your heart is your cause? And how far-reaching and how impactful is your reach for your cause? Would you consider yourself a Christian? A Christian? And are we as passionate about our Jesus as some people are about the forests or about rescuing puppies or about school safety and gun control? What or who gets your ire up? What or who brings a smile to your face? Who is your hero for whose cause you would stand firm? What cause is it in which you are steadfast? What cause is it that makes you live for it? And is there a cause for which you would die? Jesus completed his act one on Good Friday as the stone was rolled across the tomb. After intermission Saturday, well, then came Act 2 as he rose from the dead and created a ripple across the water of this world from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it is that ripple on the water that came into Stephen's life in the city of Jerusalem, caught him up in a swell of joy over personal forgiveness in this man named Jesus, and over a personal vision of walking someday in the presence of God the Father, just as surely as Jesus had walked out of his tomb. And Luke tells us that as Stephen was caught up in that wave, that he was a man full of God's grace and power, performing great wonders and signs among the people. In other words, Stephen's life had become so all about his Jesus, so all about salvation, that the name of Jesus just rolled off his lips, and the gifts of the Spirit of God just flowed out of his life. He was God's man. And Stephen was pumped to tell the world, God's man is who I am. And the signs and the wonders, well, they caught people's attention, but Stephen always pointed their attention to Jesus of Nazareth. But with that kind of living for Jesus always comes consequences. Ponder what John writes in his first letter about Cain and Abel, the first children of Adam and Eve. Do not be like Cain, John writes, who murdered his brother. And why did Cain murder Abel? Because Abel's actions were righteous. They were good. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Did Stephen see his death coming? As his life was shining brightly with his Jesus, as he taught about sin, and as he taught about God's forgiveness in the one man, Jesus Christ. Did Stephen see his death coming as he blasted the Jewish leaders for their steadfast unbelief? I don't know when Stephen realized that his death was imminent. But it didn't matter because he was trusting the promise of his Savior Jesus, and he was steadfast. His Savior had said once, "Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life here will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." The cross is most precisely suffering because of Jesus. Belonging to him, being his man, being his woman, telling the world, God's person is who I am. And when that brings suffering for Jesus, that is your cross. When that brings even death for Jesus, that is our cross. So Act 2 of Jesus' story, we are living it. And would you say that you have a bit part in his story or a major part in his story? Take a look at the screen. If that dot of light is 60, 70, 80 years of this life of living and the rest is forever, which one is you? Which one is your perspective? Do you have a small part or a big part like forever? And how does your perception of yourself shape your living each and every day? How did Stephen answer that question? Well, Stephen felt the hatred of the Jewish leaders. He felt their hatred, and he knew that his life was hanging in the balance. But he also knew that in that moment, his Savior was fully in control, and that he would never slip from his Savior's grasp, from his Savior's grip. And so he continued to shine for Jesus, to speak for his Savior, and to unafraid live his life because of his Savior Jesus' promise, who again had said, "He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. So take up your cross and follow me." And so Stephen was steadfast for Jesus. Now, prior to Acts 7, it's a long text today. Go home and take some time to read Acts 7 through 8:8. But prior to that long text of that history, This is what we're told about Stephen as he was standing before the Sanhedrin, the group of 70 rulers of the Jewish people. We are told that all who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looking intently at Stephen, they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. What comes to mind when you think of someone's face looking like the face of an angel? To me, that means that the face glowed with the glory of God, whether it was actually visible glory or figurative. No fear in the eyes, no worry on the brow, no swallowing hard before speaking, but a face that was filled with joy and with peace and with confidence, knowing that God's got this. No matter what, He has my future by His power and by His promise. For Jesus had once promised, Jesus still promises this. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And so Stephen kept on being God's man, shining for his Jesus because he knew the future, that the best was yet to come. And God, in his mercy, allowed Stephen's physical eyes to see what his faith already knew. Jesus, standing at the right hand of God with power and authority and with love for his people. Act 2 of Jesus' story. As we ponder Stephen, how big is your part? Is it a little bit part of 60, 70, 80 years? Or is it a big part forever for your children and for your family and for your friends and for people whom you have not yet met? Do you know your lines? Do you know how you will witness? How do you live now? What words are you saying now into your corner of God's creation and your corner of God's kingdom? Training to witness is one of the reasons why we gather here. Coaching from Jesus involves time in His Word. Praying, well, that's the strength that is the key. Praying for strength, the key to our living and living differently than the world. Practicing your elevator speech that begins nicely with John 3, that God so loved that He gave His Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. Trusting in Jesus so that He gives you the steadfastness, knowing that in His one life lived, He changed it all. He changed you. He changed your living. You and I know that he who believes will live, even though he dies. That's our Savior's story. So steadfast in witnessing. Steadfast in witnessing is what the Jewish leaders saw, but unfortunately for them, steadfast in their hatred of Jesus is where they remain. You see, Stephen was not the problem. It was this Jesus of Nazareth. But they believed that to get rid of this Jesus, they had to shut Stephen's mouth and the mouth of everyone like him. My mother would have said they were spitting tacks. They were so mad. But the Spirit says they gnashed their teeth at him, closing in for the kill. And when Stephen put into words what he was now physically seeing, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, they covered their ears, they yelled at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, they dragged him, and they stoned him to death. But Stephen was steadfast in his witnessing even to the end. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. In the big picture, I will live," he was confessing. Then he fell on his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them. May they still repent and be saved." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You see, steadfastness in witnessing involves giving them Jesus right till the end. Jesus is the only one who has taught that we should pray for our enemies. And then he modeled it for us. "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." And so Stephen followed the instructions. He followed the model and he prayed, "Lord Jesus, do not hold this sin against them." And he fell asleep. What of Stephen? What about him? Well, Stephen is good, wearing the crown of glory, standing at his Savior's side at the right hand of the Father in heaven, witnessing to the end his Jesus. And God gave him the crown for Jesus' sake. Act 2 of Jesus' story. If you think about it, Stephen really had a very much a bit part, if you count the pages of Scripture that he's a part of. He had a bit part, but really a major part in your life and in mine. It is not a stretch to say that Stephen is still speaking today, as we have read of him and preached about him. And it is not a stretch to say that you and I, in part, believe in Jesus as our Savior and are willing to sit here saying we want to live for Him and are willing, in theory, to go out and die for Him, in part because of Stephen. Stephen knew his life was not that dot of 60, 70, 80 years or 34. I don't know how old he was. He knew that his life involved forever. And that his witness would impact individuals like you and me and the team now and forever. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church, and all except the apostles were scattered. Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house like ripples on a water, right? But those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. My friends, the ripple of the good news of Jesus as the world's Savior has been rippling through time and through history, and 160 plus years ago, it arrived here in Muskego. And it still resonates in us today. And Stephen would ask us, "What will you do with that?" Well, what did he do with that? Better yet, what did our champion do with that? The Spirit of God says that our champion shouldered his cross and set his face to go toward Jerusalem to die for the sins of the world, that we might be free from sin, washed clean of sin, and free of any kind of fear of God. That was Act 1. Good Friday in the tomb. Easter Sunday, Act 2. The ripple on the water, salvation through faith in Jesus that has rippled into your life and into mine. You and I have been cast into his story. And what will our response be? What will our plan be? Are you and I prepared to witness with all that we are, come what may? And so we're back to where we started. Are we willing to die for our Jesus? We might say, and caution here, don't be quite like Peter, who would have rushed up and said, "Sign me up. I'm ready to die, Lord. Let all of them run, but I will not. I'm your man. I'm your woman." Take a deep breath. God may not be asking you to die for him, but he has commanded us to to live for him. Which would cause our brother Stephen to coach us and say, okay, you're willing to live for Jesus, but ponder this, in the living can come the dying. Are you still willing? Are you still willing? Steadfast in our witness. By sitting here today, we are saying, it is whose I am, it is what I do. Yet in our hearts we say, Lord, forgive me when I have dropped the ball and I have not shined for you. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Set me back on my feet and let me go out again and with Stephen shine for you. And come what may, Lord, make me steadfast in my witness. Steadfast in my witness, come what may. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Spirit this day, you have reminded us that the great gift of eternal life is ours forever. And with our eyes of faith, we see that now. We see our Savior Jesus standing at your right hand. And we see that our lives are part of this big story called forever. And no matter how short or long our life may be, you have called us to a role to impact forever in the lives of the people around us in this world, around us in our families, around us in this church family. Help us to shine brightly for you as did Stephen. Help us to realize that being a witness for you is more about dying peacefully at age 87 with all of our family around. It could be dying at age 37 because people don't love you and therefore don't love us. Help us to have a faith that's willing to go to the mat for you, to die for you, but almost more importantly, dear Lord Jesus, give us a faith that lives for you each and every day. May your words be on my lips, your name be on my tongue, may your will be in my actions, and may people see me and be curious and say, why do you do what you do? Why do you live the way you live? And then let me, as Stephen did, point them mightily to you as Savior and Lord. So thank you for writing Act 1 and securing our salvation. Thank you as you continue to write Act 2 and use us. Write us into your story. Give us speaking parts. Give us living parts. And if we are to die in that story for you, then so be it. And then give us the crown of glory that you gave to your servant Stephen and all who have gone before us as your children. Thank you for being our Savior God. Thank you for giving us a part in your story. Help us to fill the role to your glory and the saving of souls. We pray in your name, and all God's people together say, Amen.
As we continue our time in worship, we have an opportunity to praise God with what he has given us. We do take an offering here at the Bridge. And while we're taking the offering, we want to encourage you to fill out the connection card that's there. It's an opportunity for us to get to know you. If you're a visitor, again, fill out what information you're comfortable. And if there's a way that we can pray for you, let us know how we can do that with and for you. It would be great to be able to do that. The buckets are on this side. If you want to grab that bucket, just pass it down this way. Our Bridge volunteers will pick it up. We also are embarking on a step of faith here as we endeavor to try to make the good news of Jesus Christ known in many other places and in many other ways. And we are trying to raise a cool million dollars to be able to do ministry at a higher level, and including some things and enhancements that would help us here at the Bridge. We're going to just watch a video. There's going to be some information handed out to you today as you leave the church. So if the video is queued up, we're going to show you this now. You can take down the lights.
Our guests feel it. They feel the heartbeat. God promised, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. For the last 160 years, God has been fulfilling that promise here at St. Paul's. God has given his people hearts that beat with a love for their Savior Jesus. Last fall, we celebrated this truth. A generous God creates generous people with a generous vision. That heartbeat of generosity leads us to celebrate some significant anniversaries here at St. Paul's with a challenging goal. A cool million given over the next 2 years to improve our facilities. What do we hope to accomplish? The heating system in most of our school building is beyond life expectancy. But heating isn't the only need in our school. Imagine being in a classroom filled with 25 or more children when it's 95 degrees outside. It is far from an ideal learning environment, wouldn't you agree? We are budgeting $500,000 to cover a new heating and cooling system and related costs. The heating and cooling of our school is half of the entire anniversary effort, and thus its name, a cool million. There are a number of other improvements that we plan to accomplish through this cool million offering. You'll find more information in the mailing in the lobby. Our on-campus improvements will cost about $900,000. So why a cool million? Because as generous people, we want to give a tithe, 10% of every cool million gift to provide $100,000 for our mission partners. Over the last month, we have begun the quiet phase of this cool million effort, visiting a number of your brothers and sisters in Christ. We have already received nearly $400,000 in advanced gifts and plans for giving. Several people were unable to make a firm plan for giving, but they shared their hope, their dream, that if everything worked out as they expect, that they'll be able to give an additional $50,000. My heart beats faster just thinking of the generosity of those who are leading the way with plans and dreams to give nearly $450,000. And I know that your brothers and sisters in Christ who have led the way are praying that their generosity can serve as an encouragement to the rest of us. In the church lobby is an envelope for each family. And if you're a guest and want to be a part of this effort, there is also an unlabeled packet of information there for you. We plan to begin some of these projects this summer, and so we are asking you to return your initial gift and your plan for giving by May 6th. Thanks be to God. He is fulfilling his promise among us. We have new hearts beating with a love for the Savior. God bless you as you follow your heart and determine your part in a cool million.